I do greet you this morning with joy and gladness as always, and with the sure understanding that it is indeed pleasant when brothers and sisters in the Lord dwell together in unity. The Apostle Peter's final words to the church were, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen." It's a beautiful statement, and I was going to say something about it, but instead, since "as the deer" is a great expression of a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm going to turn it over to my brother Frederick.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you all here this morning. So this morning, we've got a scripture reading out of Psalms 121, if you'd like to go ahead and turn to that. And this is the help of God for all who seek Him. It goes really well this morning with our Sunday school study of suffering in tough times and seeking Christ, not just for part of us, but all of us, and to repent for the sins that we've done and to bring us fully in front of God and Christ, and to ask for that repentance and to seek Him fully when we're in through times of suffering. "I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore." Blessed is the reading of His word. Let's go ahead and, this is kind of normally the time of prayer, but we're doing this a little differently this morning. So I want to read the scriptures and then we'll go to prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful, beautiful morning that you've given us, for the opportunity to come here into your house and to spend time with our brothers and our sisters together, to spend time in worship and to listen to your word and to learn and to glean, so that we may grow closer to you and grow in our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. We thank you so much for this time. This is the most special time of the week for all of us. We ask that you would just bless our hearts and bless our minds as we listen this morning and spend time in your word and worshiping you. We thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. If you remember last time I was here, I was on the topic of the feeding of the 5,000. If you remember correctly, I made a list of things that I believe. I made a long list. All the miracles, great things that accomplished in the Old Testament time, creation of the world, parting of the Red Sea, David and Goliath, and so on. I could have made a real long list. But I was emphatic that I believe those things because the greatest miracle of all was Christ going to the cross for me on the wing. Suffering, dying, and rising again, that we might have everlasting life. All the other things of Scripture pale to that work. One thing I didn't do is I didn't say anything about all things I do not believe. There's a lot of things, doctrines that people hold that I do not believe, that are not God's word. And I didn't make any list about all the doctrines I do believe, which have been a long list. Let's read our passage. Matthew 14, starting with verse 22. This is the story of Jesus walking on water. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray one more time. Father, may we ask the blessing of your word this morning. May we draw truths from this small passage that we may apply to our lives. It's just not a story about something wonderful that happened. But these verses contain lessons that we need to learn and apply to our lives. So this we ask in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beautiful passage, is it not? One of the things I made mention of last month, was that when the feeding of the 5,000 came, as a whole, they came for the wrong reasons. They came for healing, and they came to be fed. The wrong motivations. And I tried to make the implication and the application that too often, even today, we're trying to come to Christ and to church for the wrong thing, wrong reasons. We're coming for what Christ and the church can do for us instead of coming to Christ for his redemption, his power to save the lost.
Amen.
Our passage comes right on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. Healing had been done. Christ's teaching had been done. Evening had come. He commands his disciples to get into the ship. To get into the boat. Disperses the multitude. And Christ is going to go off up the mountain a bit to pray. And this is the first application I want us to learn. Christ was determined at this point in time to go commune with his Father. He wanted to get alone up on the mountain in solitude to pray. We need, as Christians, to pray.
Amen.
It's a major part of a Christian's life. What do you pray about, though? What is the focus of all your prayers? If you were to divide up a pie chart, what things do you pray about? I would gather to say that the majority of us tend to have and focus on our prayer time with our Lord is physical thing. And I would say that is a great mistake. We spend too much time praying for physical things. We desire people to be healed of their ailment, their maladies. We desire people to be in better health. But we'll probably only spend a fraction of our time praying for the most important thing, which is the spiritual things. Christ is a great example for us in prayer. He goes up to the mountain to pray. Folks, he was up there all night. All night long. He was praying for a minimum of at least 6 hours. We are commanded to pray, and we have examples. Remember Anna in the temple? She prayed day and night. We're commanded to pray without ceasing. Christ prayed for us in John 17.
Amen.
Paul, in his prayer in Thessalonians 3, prays for us.
Hmm? Yep.
I believe we fail to see the beauty of prayer, and we don't have the conviction to pray continually. Christ wasn't forced to pray. He did it out of pure joy for us. And we are to follow his steps. The question I have is, how much do we actually pray? And if we are praying, what are we praying for? At the fourth watch, the storm had hit, the disciples were out on the boat, and Christ comes walking on the water. The fourth watch was just sometime between probably 3 and 6 a.m. So if he leaves his disciples sometime in the evening, goes up to the mountain, comes to the disciples sometime between 3 a.m. and 6, remember he gave his disciples, can't you stay awake for just an hour to pray? Conviction, I don't think we pray long enough, and I don't think we pray correctly enough. So the disciples are out on the water. They're fighting the winds. Passage says, a boisterous wind came up. And they're struggling against the wind to get shore. And here comes Christ walking on the water. Now you realize this story, this narrative, is in Matthew, Mark, and John. In the John's passage, they're about, they say, 20 to 30 furlongs out, which translates into 6 to 7 miles. They were afraid for their lives. That's one of the reasons I chose this hymn. Look at all the metaphors in this hymn with water. I was sinking. Give me a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'll find many hymns written concerning water. It is well with my soul. The water, the waves, the storm can teach us many things. This represents for us turmoil, affliction, opposition, tribulation. Psalms 42:7. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Psalm 88:7. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou shalt afflict me with all thy ways. In Hebrews 6:19, we have a hope which is an anchor to the soul.
Yep.
Christ comes walking on the water. Take notice, Christ wasn't running. He wasn't late. He was walking towards them on the water. You remember Lazarus? He waited until after he died. Christ being sovereign is never hurried. He's never anxious. He's always right on time.
Amen.
He walks out to his disciples on the water. But when he gets out there, the disciples, all of them, seem to see a spirit. All of them do not recognize Christ. They were deeply distressed. They think what they saw was some kind of spirit. Difficult to say what they may have thought in their minds or whatever their conclusion was, but they led to superstition. This is one thing for sure. What they saw disturbed them, and they were fearful. We know Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. But we need to be very careful about things dealing with superstition. Christianity and superstition do not mix. We cannot jump into any conclusion of anything you think you've seen, any experience you had, or even stories of other things people have seen or what they've experienced, and try to extrapolate something kind of strange and weird. We need to back up everything from God's word.
Amen.
Everything.
Yep.
As Christians, we need to avoid those pitfalls of trying to read something in the scripture that isn't there and holding something you think is true that is not found in God's word. They should have recognized Christ immediately, but they did not. So whatever visions, dreams, incredible testimonies you've ever heard, warning, process everything through God's word. It's really sad that the disciples didn't recognize it immediately. All of them did not recognize. Not just one, all of them. Interesting that they had just come through the feeding of the 5,000, healings of many that had diseases. They forgot that Christ actually commanded them to get on the boat the first time. They forgot about the experience they had when Christ was sleeping on the boat in the storm. How quickly they failed this test. Christ is teaching his disciples by degrees. We have to remember putting ourselves in their shoes, thinking that that we would have passed such a test. I would guarantee you that Christ, our God, has brought to us many tests. We don't recognize them, and we've probably failed them many times over.
Yep.
But you know Christ's response? He was patient. He didn't berate them. Reminds me of Joel 2:13. Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Reminds me of John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. All it took was his voice. And he knew it was the Lord. And if we have Christ, what are we to be afraid of?
Yep.
Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body.
Amen.
What kind of test do you think you might have passed or failed? Something that will quickly throw you off guard. Diagnosis of cancer, severe injury, losing a loved one, imprisonment, being sued by somebody, losing your employment, losing your wealth. This win was a test. Testing by degrees. Christ, on the water, Peter sees him. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You got to appreciate Peter. What a man this man was. We have to really appreciate Peter. He was a huge man of zeal. He was bold. He was one that said, hey, let me get out on the water with you, Lord. Note, did Peter go out on the water just to be out on the water? No. Passage says, Peter said to him, let it be thou, Lord, bid me come unto thee on water. Notice in Scripture, there is no passage or verse that would suggest that any disciples requested of Christ a miracle just to see a miracle for its sake of being a miracle. Not once. When it says, bid me to come unto thee, we need to extrapolate that Christ, Peter wanted to be with Christ. His motivation was not just to get out on the water, to be on the water. So, wow, that is a wonderful and cool thing to do. That was not his motivation. Bid me to come unto thee. Basically, that's the gospel message right there. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These men were going to become fishers of men. Peter was the leader of the 12. We can say pretty sure that Peter's motivation was not just to have fun, to be walking on water. Got to get that clear. Being fishers of men is a serious business. And there's no laughing funny about that. Christ was teaching his disciples to basically turn the world over with the gospel of Christ. So Peter gets out of the water, the waves are great. Peter gets afraid because he takes his eyes off of Christ onto the storm and begins to sink. Every test we go through, We need to keep our eyes on Christ.
Amen.
One of my favorite little hymns is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow stranger dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep our eyes on Christ. But what does that mean? It's a beautiful phrase. Keep our eyes on Christ. But what does it mean? It has to mean keep our eyes, the light to our heart and mind, on our Lord Savior. Total devotion to him. Totally devoted to Christ for what he has done for us on the cross. Total devotion to Christ upon the cross as a sovereign Savior.
Amen.
Who saves sinners.
Yep.
We must know his word. We must know his commands. We must know his promises. We need to love him more than anything in this world.
Amen. Yes.
John, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love only Christ. Christ responded, Peter, why do you have faith? Why do you doubt? But no. He had little faith. Little faith is good. But we don't want to remain at people, Christian, saint, which is little faith. We want great faith. We need to have our faith grow. Jeremiah 12:5 reminded me of the Sunday school class. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how then canst thou contend with the horses? Everything in life the Lord brings along the way will test. Help you grow and grow and grow. You've got to pass those tests, because when the big one comes up, storm like this, you're going to be caught off guard. You will not be ready for it. Peter calls out to the Lord, save me. Christ reaches out his hand and grabs Peter. Reminds me of our believers in Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Christ is the one who saves. We cannot save ourselves. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not too shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Jeremiah 32:17, and oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. I love the phrase, we must lean on the everlasting arms. Another hymn.
Yes.
Oh, how sweet to walk leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to fear leaning on the everlasting arms? Taken right out of Deuteronomy 33. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He that comes to God must believe, and he that believes in God will come. This whole picture of Peter being not born of Christ, beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's take a second look at Peter. He is a bold man. He's got leadership qualities. He acts quickly, sometimes zeal that was misplaced, but a great example in so many ways. He's tested, he fails, but he is owned by Christ. He knew who Christ was. He knew he was the Messiah. But he had to grow. Lesson, we need to grow. You will not grow spiritually if you don't get out of the boat. Christianity is about being active. It's an act of faith. We are to be ambassadors for Christ, fervent and zealous for all things concerning Christ. You can't lock yourself in your room and expect to grow.
Nope. Right up.
We got to use the means of grace. Prayer. We need to be people of prayer. We need to read God's word, study it, meditate on it day and night. We need fellowship with other saints. We need to serve utilizing our gifts. We need to worship and praise with thanksgiving our hearts to the Lord collectively.
Amen.
We need daily confession to our Lord of our sin. Faith is active. James says, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. God is sovereign, and that should give us great comfort. When things around us seem to fall apart, things that seem to dash what we think is our desires, our goals, our dreams, when the world around us seems to be falling apart, we always fall back on God is sovereign.
Amen. Yep.
He does what he pleases. Nothing is a shock to him. He is in control of all things.
Amen.
Even the elements.
Yep.
Go back to lesson number, I don't know how many times, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God,
yes,
to those who are called according to his purpose. The mistake most of people make with that verse is they think the good things are always good and the bad things are always bad, when it's actually the opposite. The things that bring us away that we think are bad are actually the things that are actually good for us, and the things that we think are good for us are probably the things that are bad for us because they're pulling us away from our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When Christ climbs into the boat, the wind ceases. There's no command for it to stop. It just stops. God is so sovereign over everything, even nature. Digress. Does Satan control the weather? If he did, it would seem that this would have been a good option for Satan to just have his always been sunk. Be drowned. He couldn't do it. Our God is sovereign, even over nature.
Yep, he is.
In the Mark narrative, Mark brings up the point to why they were caught off guard. It's twofold. They consider not the loaves and the fishes, and two, their hearts are hardened. They so quickly forgot who they were. This is why we need to keep our eyes on Christ, because we so easily get knocked off guard. If you know Scripture well, you've meditated on it day and night, you would be able to draw verses to apply your situation to give you strength and comfort and to see what God is doing with you in your life. I have a fear. Being put in prison without my Bible, and I have the goal that I'm going to write on the wall every verse I can remember giving comfort. And my nightmare is I can't think of one verse. Don't want to be in that spot. We got to know God's word. What verses are you going to call up when things go south for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These disciples were all caught off guard. What should have been the right response of these disciples? Very simple. We're in a precarious situation here, guys. Let's go to prayer. They had a Savior to go to. They didn't do it.
Yep.
We don't want to be in that situation.
Amen. Amen.
When the turmoils and problems and pains and difficulties and frustrations and the back sets of life, we have to draw upon Christ as our strength.
Yes.
And as soon as they get in the boat, they're at shore. All those in the boat came and worshiped him and said, "Truly, the Son of God." But I want to make sure you kind of catch this one point. There were 12 disciples. They're all in the boat. That means Judas is with them too. Judas experienced feeding the 5,000. He experienced seeing all those that were healed. He experienced Christ seeing walk on the water. He experienced that man come to a dead stop.
Yep. Yep.
How close can you be to the Savior Jesus Christ and not be owned by him?
Yes.
Take note. We do not want to be hypocrites. We want to be true Christians.
Amen. Yep.
This story is, again, every miracle that Christ did was to prove his deity. Mm-hmm. That he was truly the Son of God.
Amen. Yeah.
He did not walk on water because it was cool. No. He was explained in vision form to his disciples and for us that he was truly the Son of God. So let's review all the things that the disciples have forgotten. The miracle loaves just 12 hours earlier. Seeing all the people that were healed just 12 hours earlier. They forgot that Christ had commanded to get in the boat just 12 hours earlier. Why would Christ command to get in the boat if the boat was going to go down? They forgot they were going to be called fishers of men. Excuse me, in a moment's time, they forgot everything. And remember, these guys were out all night. But you can't believe them being caught off guard to fatigue. You can't fail your tests because you're getting tired. All they had to do was call upon the Savior. Were in distress. Don't draw the wrong conclusion. That if you're in a boat out on the water, the storm comes up, and it begins to sink, that God's going to save you out of that situation.
Yep.
There are many Christians that have drowned. God's promise is not to save you out of any difficult situation, whether it be disease, drowning. The implication and the application we should run with is this is spiritual. This is spiritual. My Father who has given me, them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Had they drowned, they've been with the Lord, God would raise up more men. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor anything created, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes.
This is a spiritual understanding. The storms that come are spiritual victories. We may someday die of cancer. We may someday physically die in some boat. We may physically die in some extreme kind of consequence. But if we are saved, we're in the pit of the Lord's hand and nobody will snatch us out.
Amen. Yep.
Finally, Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3, the righteous man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall feed it like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. In a moment's notice, you will be knocked off guard. We shouldn't be like that, because we should have God's word implanted in our minds and hearts. It is not going to move. You can always bring it to memory. When you memorize your verses, Lord, this verse gives me comfort, gives me hope, gives me strength. Mm-hmm. When the difficult time comes, when the storm's gone, I'll be ready.
Amen.
They got caught up in the moment, struggling not to die. Good lesson for us. Let's not be like that. We don't want to be so busy trying to survive in life that we forget that our Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Mm-hmm. Yep. We forget that if we seek Him, Christ, and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. Christ's church cannot be stopped. Mm-hmm. Remember Christ talking to Peter. And I also pray to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Amen. Yes.
That boat was not going to sink, and those men were not going to die in that storm, because Christ had a plan that they were going to build in the four corners of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Lord will not take you out of this planet mm-hmm. until He is completely done with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a famous quote. Maybe somebody can tell me who said it. He is no fool to give up that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he never lose. Who said that?
Jim Elliot.
Jim Elliot. Give up everything for Christ.
Yes.
100%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Serve with your whole heart. Believe with your whole heart. Follow with your whole heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Worship with your full heart. Pray with your full heart. This passage also is one we can look to kind of show the difficulties the church collectively can go through. The storms going into the church. But the gospel of Jesus Christ won't be stopped.
Amen. Why not?
The gospel will not be stopped. Mm-hmm. Satan is powerless before that.
Yes, indeed. Amen.
May our light shine bright. May our faith be active. Learn the pitfall these disciples made in one time. May we prepare for the difficult times that may lay ahead of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you and pray for this passage. There's many more things that are kind of left on the table, things we can glean from this. The Lord, help us be prayer, people of prayer. Teach us to pray correctly, Lord. Pray for the things that are eternally important. Lord, help us not falter in our faith. Make us believers that are growing each day. Mm-hmm. Don't allow our faith to be little.
Yep, yep.
Lord, as we see passages once again, it shows that you are truly the Son of God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We just praise you that you raise up these men.
Yep.
To be a great light to the world, because of their work is why we're here today. So Lord, we just come with our hearts humbled, that may we be praised, may we uplift you with all salutations we can give you, with thankfulness for what you've done for us. Being saved from our sins, what an incredible miracle that is.
Yes.
So Lord, teach us, help us, give us wisdom, guide us, lead us.
Amen.
And we see all these things in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.